Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Religious Studies Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
These are allegedly, according to Neil Jackson, who sent them to us, written by kids in religious school. Kids are great. The Egyptians were all drowned in the desert. Afterwards, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Amendments. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. You know, I mean, how often do you not really get the gist? And if you didn't really know what the words meant, you substitute a known word. A word that you do know.
Exactly.
So, I mean, porcupines is fine.
Sure.
And whoever gave the kid something different to memorize was a moron. Jesus enunciated the golden rule, which says to do one to others, not to do unto others, but to do
one.
O-N-E to others before they do one to you. Saint Paul cavorted to Christianity. He preached holy acrimony, which is another name for marriage. And speaking of marriage, most religions teach us to have only one spouse. This is called monotony. It's good. And maybe it's all true. And I am not going to make any editorial comment about any of them because...
Why not?
It could get cold out.
Which one were you thinking of commenting on? The last one?
None. I wasn't thinking of commenting on any of them.
Well, if you'd like to try to encourage my brother to make a comment that he regret, you can call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Gary Jacobs from New Smyrna Beach, Florida.
Hi, Gary.
From where, Florida?
New Smyrna Beach?
New Smyrna Beach. We're just south of Daytona Beach.
New Smyrna.
S-M-Y-R-N-A.
Yeah, I have it.
I figured that.
Yeah.
I've never heard of New Smyrna.
What was so bad about Old Smyrna Beach?
Well, I don't know. I've never been there.
Oh. Just curious.
Yeah, so what's up, Gare?
I have a mechanical moral dilemma.
Mm-hmm. Moral.
An M-M. Mechanical moral.
We're ready.
All right. I'm a doctor. Two doors down is a mechanic.
Okay.
And I have a Toyota pickup truck that I always change my own oil on. Mm-hmm. But I worked out a deal with a mechanic.
He's driving a Jaguar.
I worked out a deal with him that he would change my oil and do all the mechanical, you know, routine mechanical things, and I'd take care of his family for free.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway, when I was over there watching him change the oil, I went over there, the car had been over there about 2 hours, and I wondered if it was ready. So I went over, and I noticed that he had a concoction of socket set extensions and U-joints and all kinds of mechanical things to get down to the oil filter to take it off with an oil filter wrench. And he'd already burned himself twice, and he'd already been working on this for an hour and a half. Now, I know, having changed the oil before, I know that you can just take four little bolts off inside the wheel well and a little panel drops down, and you get a straight shot at the oil filter, and pop it right off.
Mm-hmm. I see the problem.
I see the problem too. Now he's a bona fide
working
auto technician.
Is he an employed mechanic?
Yes, he is.
But it doesn't work for Toyota.
No,
obviously not.
No. Mm. My question is: shall I tell him, how shall I tell him?
Don't tell him.
Well,
he's going to figure it out sooner. He's going to figure it out sooner.
No, he isn't. I don't think so.
No, because he's gonna go to work someday, and he's going to say, man, I was changing the oil on a Toyota the other day. What a pain in the butt that is. You got to do blah, blah, blah. And someone will tell him sooner or later, you didn't take the little panel off? And he's going to say, huh?
Well, here's another possibility.
A synonymous note.
Okay. The next time you're going to have him change the oil, you take the little panel off, but say nothing.
Oh.
Oh, I leave it hanging.
Yeah, leave it hanging.
Sure.
Right.
And when he goes to check out what's making all that noise, he'll say, Sonia, Henny's tutu.
Oh, I think that's a good solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that too.
Yeah, because it would be an affront, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing is going to happen in the other direction one of these days. You know, you're going to be treating one of his kids or his wife or something, and it's going to be something painfully obvious to him, and you're going to start prescribing antibiotics and who knows what, surgery, because you have a boat payment due, and he's going to know that
the kid has a bean in his nose.
Yeah, what do you guys do when you have a boat payment due?
Yeah, I mean, how do you make...
We know what we do.
Well, it's pretty easy to manufacture illnesses. All you'd have to do is plant the suggestion.
Is this some code of silence that you guys...
No, we just hope people get sick.
Yeah, I know. That's great, isn't it?
How are you feeling? Great, Doc. Oh,
that's too bad. Well, I would remove the plate and hope for the best.
I think that's a great idea.
See you later,
thanks,
Gary.
For calling, and thanks for asking. It was a very sensitive issue. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. See, at least he had the decency to ask that question.
Yes. The sensitivity, I think.
That's it. The sensitivity. Most guys wouldn't.
You just said, hey, you moron.
Hey, jerk.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, hi. This is Fiona calling from Clarkston, Michigan.
Fiona? With an F?
With an F, yep. Like Frank.
Yeah.
From where?
From Clarkston, Michigan.
Clarkston.
Actually, right now I'm calling from work in Ann Arbor, but I live in Clarkston.
Ah, work,
You work at the university?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do.
Are you a college professor?
No, unfortunately I'm not, because they get paid better than I do.
Not by much, but they certainly do less work than you do.
Yeah.
Fiona.
Yep. Well,
that's an interesting name.
Well, my mom is from Scotland, and so my dad is American, but my mother's Scottish, and so they gave us one Gaelic name and one American name. And so my Gaelic name is Fiona.
That's a Gaelic name, Fiona?
Yeah.
I always thought it was sort of Mediterranean.
Oh, no, like, no. Like
Greek.
Scotland, Ireland?
Oh, no. No, no. Yeah. It's it's a British Isles name.
British Isles.
Is it?
Oh, yes, indeed, lad. Well, top of the morning to you, Fiona.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for that interesting bit of information.
Yeah.
Everything's due to my brother. Yeah. So anyway, Clarkston, Michigan. So what's on your mind, Fiona?
Well, I have a 91 Probe GT, and it's got 105,000 miles on it. And when the car is cold, it makes an exhaust noise, kind of like there's a hole in the muffler. And it's not really very loud, but it's loud enough to make my neighbor turn around in his driveway and wonder what I'm doing.
Mm, and then it goes away when it warms up?
Well, it used to go away completely when it got warm. Mm. But now it doesn't really go away, but it kind of changes to a higher pitch noise, and it's not as loud.
Yeah.
And with hard acceleration, it becomes a whistle.
Oh, yeah.
I only get the noise when I'm accelerating and not when I'm at a constant speed. Mm-hmm. And my husband thought that it sounded like a transmission noise, but when it makes a noise whether or not I have the clutch pressed in or not. So when I rev the engine with the clutch pressed in, it still makes a noise,
mm-hmm.
but not when the car is really hot.
Okay. So actually you can get the noise without even moving the car. Is that
right.
True? Okay.
Right.
Got it.
That would pretty much eliminate lots of things.
Yeah, like wheel bearings, you know, transmission probably, you know,
and
axles.
And why did you describe it as exhaust noise when you first mentioned it?
Well, because that's kind of how it sounds when the car is really cold, like I haven't, like first thing in the morning.
Well, that's what it is.
It's kind of like a lower kind of thing.
I'm going to suggest.
I think that's what it is.
I think that's what it is, too.
And I'm going to tell you that it's coming from the front of the car and not the middle or the back.
From the front?
Yeah! That's what I said, Fiona, baby!
Well, where do you think it's coming from?
I don't know.
Good. She's right for the front suggestion.
Yeah. Are you susceptible to a front? Front is good.
Front is good. No, somebody told me it might be a cracked exhaust manifold.
Exactly that.
That's exactly what it is.
What it is, because what's happening is the crack is there when the manifold is cold, and as we know, most things, when they're heated up, expand, and the manifold is expanding and closing up that crack.
Okay.
So that the noise changes in pitch and severity.
Exactly, because the space where the hot exhaust is coming through changes shape, and it's like whistling.
Oh, okay.
So when the engine is cold and a lot of exhaust can escape, it sounds more like you have a hole in your muffler, and then as the thing warms up, it'll revert to a whistling sound. Eventually, the manifold will just split in two, and it'll sound like a cement truck all the time.
Now, how quickly would that happen?
I'd say you got about an hour.
Oh, great.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you've had this problem for a long time.
Well, probably like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. Oh, it's getting close.
Okay, so...
And you were waiting all this time to talk to us, and you didn't think to have someone look at it, of course.
Yeah, well, that would cost money.
No, see, I was going to take it to have somebody look at it. Actually, I was going to take it to the dealer, and my husband said, no, don't take it to a dealer. They'll rip you off. And so I listened to him, and I didn't take it. And
yeah, but if they don't rip you off, how else are they going to keep those nice waiting rooms intact, you know, with
sure,
those
with
nice...
Sure, the coffee, the donuts, the air conditioning... The suits on those salesmen.
They're counting on you, Fiona. Go in there and pay your dues.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are wearing $1,000 suits. Well, they've got to be paid by somebody.
Now, is this a $1,000 repair, though?
No,
Do they have to pull the engine?
But it's several hundred.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
okay, well, that's not too bad.
Yeah. I mean, they could even get the part at a junkyard, save you a couple of bucks.
Yeah,
but
the dealership wouldn't do that, but your local gas station might.
Okay.
So I would go there.
Yeah. And it's not rocket science.
Get it looked at because you probably are breathing some of this exhaust that's getting up into your ventilation system.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and
that would explain my imaginary friend on the way home from
yes,
work?
Yes, that would.
That's it. Good luck, Fiona.
See you, Fiona.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Jamie. I'm from Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Hi, Jamie. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How are y'all?
Oh, not bad.
Like you're having too much fun up there.
No, we're not having any fun
Arkansas.
At all. I'll tell you, it's a chore to do this show every week.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, it's awful, man.
You're just laughing to keep the pain away.
That's it, man.
That's it. You got to hit the nail right on the head,
well,
man.
Well, see, he's down there in country western land. And they know about expressions like that. I'm just laughing to keep the pain away. If that isn't a country western title,
well,
I don't know what is.
We just develop a certain attitude that makes it easy to make them up on the spot.
Right. But nothing's better than Bubba shot the jukebox. That's what... So what's cooking, Jamie?
Well, I've got a two-part question for you, but both parts are motivated by my desire to someday have power steering before I die. I'm in the... in the lawn mowing business, and I'm pulling a trailer around with a 69 Ford truck,
yep.
Which is an old farm and ranch special. It's about like working an 80-year-old man out in the field every day.
Yeah, right.
But I've been thinking about getting a new truck, and I hear so much about diesels, about how long they last and how powerful they are.
And how much noise they make. And
yeah, well, I've heard that too, and how much they cost.
And how much they cost, and how much in fumes they put out. But other than that, they're all right.
But everyone that drives a diesel tells me that for my business, where I'm doing a lot of stopping and starting all day, you know, 15, 20 times a day, that's real hard on a diesel engine. And everyone says that except the people that sell them. and they say, no, nonsense. I've never heard of that problem.
Hmm.
So what you got?
Well, how many miles a year do you drive?
Oh, 10 to 15,000.
But it's all little short trips.
Yeah, little short runs.
Yeah, see, I'd have to recommend against a diesel.
Okay, and why is that?
It's bad for all kinds of engines to do that kind of driving.
Mm.
It is bad for all kinds of engines. However, I think you're going to go through starter motors and batteries at an alarming rate. And it is bad for the contamination that results from a... Don't forget, a diesel engine has to use the heat of compression to combust the fuel. And one of the reasons that you have to change the oil often in a diesel is that it gets contaminated with the fuel. And that contamination takes place primarily when the engine is running inefficiently.
And when you start it.
And when the engine's cold and you start it. So you drive it for 5 or 10 minutes, you park it, you restart it, and you park it, you restart it, and you park it. And every time you do that, you're getting washed down of the cylinder walls with uncombusted fuel. And you're going to have to change the oil like every week.
Or every day.
So
And the other thing is that you're not gaining any of the benefits of a diesel because diesels are good because they will run forever.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want something that runs forever unless you decide to take out the key and just start it up once and leave it running forever.
You could do that.
Never shut it off.
And I've noticed people doing that.
They do do that.
They go into the store and they leave it running.
They leave it running. So when you see one like that,
steal it.
Well, do you have any good tips on how to go about that?
Oh, yeah. We have a private number for that. It's 1-888.
Well, then,
hot cars.
How about the second part of my question, which would be Would it be feasible or
yes.
recommended to
retrofit?
To try to, for my truck, try to
absolutely.
Put in power steering.
The power steering pump part of it is easy. I mean, you can attach a pump, and there's plenty of places to attach one. The holes are already there in the block and the cylinder head to attach the bracket. They make all the engines capable of having power steering. So attaching that part of it's easy. It's getting the steering box that's tough.
Okay.
And so you'd have to get one. You'd have to find out what steering box fits what vehicles. It may be, for example, that the steering box that fit a 69 pickup truck went all the way up to 75.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could find that out, you can find that out at the junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
So you plop that baby in, you put the hoses, you run the hoses up to the power steering pump, and you put a pump and a belt on there, and you're in Fat City.
God, it just can't be that easy.
Well, no, you're in Fayetteville. I'm sorry.
It won't be, because you're going to have to go down to the Fayetteville Recycling Center there, Auto Recycling Center, and you're going to have to go to all of them.
So I'm going to be doing some searching.
Yeah, and as you know, the Auto Recycling Centers, or junkyards as they are more correctly called, they have a network. So if you go to one where you can find a guy who's willing to spend a little time with you, he can send out your request on the network.
And you know how the network works? The dogs bark.
And the dog in the next junkyard hears him, and he barks again, and then it leaps
across.
Yeah,
it's like smoke signals, so to speak.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And pretty soon you find a dog that has this stuff, and he barks back, and they deliver it.
Okay.
So good luck to you, Jamie.
All right, thanks a lot.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Do I remember last week's puzzler?
No idea, huh? That's what I figured. Well, it's a horticultural story of time, space, and lawn care. And I'll have the entire saga in just a minute.
And even though Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz clicks her heels four times whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from J.B. Weld. When you have a big or small repair project at home or in your garage, choose J.B. Weld, the leader in epoxy adhesives. J.B. Weld products bond strongly to a variety of surfaces in even the toughest environments. Proudly made in the USA, it's the brand both pros and experienced DIYers have trusted for more than 50 years. Available at jbweld.com, Amazon, Walmart, and your local auto parts or home improvement retailer.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal. So you're listening to this NPR podcast because you want to be informed. You want to learn something. But what if you need a little break? Well, then you want to check out Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. It's the show that lets your lizard brain enjoy itself for once. You can be serious again later. Listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And
which here, I remember.
Here it is. This guy has a new house built, and as luck would have it, his entire backyard is just dirt, and he's planning on having a big 4th of July celebration. So he goes to the local nursery and tells the fellow there, I need to buy some grass seed because it's almost June, and I want to have a yard full of grass for my party. Anyway, the nursery fellow recommends sod, but that's too expensive. He recommends seed, but that's too slow and, you know, unpredictable. Mm. Finally, the fellow at the nursery says, hey, we've got this new product. It's a plug of grass about the size of your fist. And you plant it in a central location in your yard. And every day, it doubles in size. Right?
Yeah.
So he asks the owner of the house to draw a picture of his backyard with the dimensions. And he says, well, I've done the math, and all you need is one of these.
Wow.
So the homeowner says, you mean if I plant one of these on June 1st, by June 30th, I'll have a full lawn? The guy says, righto. But once the lawn gets to be the right size, you have to spray it with this arrestor spray so it doesn't grow up the side of your house and across the street and eat your kids. So the homeowner says, you sure you did the math right? He says, oh, yeah, plant one of these, and in 30 days you'll have a full lawn in your backyard. And the homeowner says, great, but just to be safe, I'll take two.
Good thinking.
So the question is, if one plug planted on June 1st will give him a full lawn on June 30th, when he buys two plugs, on what day, and I did add plus or minus a day or two, would he need to apply the Arresta spray to make the lawn the right size?
Yeah. Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Now, logic would tell you, well, if he bought two, he'd be done June 15th, right?
Maybe earlier.
Maybe. But the answer is, instead of his lawn being finished on June 30th, it's done on June 29th. Because all it does is gain him one day.
It does,
because don't forget, if you plant one, the next day, how many do you have? Two. Right?
Well, you don't really have two.
Well, you have double the size.
You have double the size.
Which is what you'd get if you bought two of them. And then what happens the next day?
Yeah.
You got four. Yeah. So all it does is lop off the first day. So that's the answer. He sprays it on June 29th, and if he doesn't, then it eats his house.
Wow.
Do we have a winner?
Yeah, of course we do. The winner is Drew Henderson from Moorhead, Kentucky. Drew Henderson from Moorhead, Kentucky. And for having his correct answer chosen from among all the correct answers that we got this week, Drew is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get our best-selling CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars. The thesis of this collection, by the way, is that 98% of the world's misinformation about cars comes from fathers. The other 2% comes from who? From us! We provide ample evidence of both in Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars.
Anyway, we'll have a new...
Automotive?
No.
Non-automotive? No.
Yeah.
Quasi-automotive? You missed.
No.
We haven't had quasi-automotive.
No. This is another in the series of the famous string puzzles. And that'll be coming up in the third half of today's show.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions or make fun of us or do anything you want. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-CAR-TALK.
Yeah.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Doug from Lawrenceville, Georgia.
How you doing, Doug?
Hi, Doug.
Good. And yourselves?
Not bad.
Great. I have a problem with my CV joints. I have a 1990 Honda CRX. Got 117,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And between about 105 and 110,000, I started hearing a small noise. It was almost like bike cards, you know, or cards in your bike.
Like a baseball card stuck in your spokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
But it only happened when I turned left
from
a stop position. You know, and I was thinking about selling the car, but I couldn't tell the guy, you know, let's only drive right. You know, so...
Yeah, so, you can tell them to meet you someplace where there are only right turns.
Absolutely. So,
well, why don't you just fix it?
Well, I looked under the car, and I noticed the crack. There was a cracked boot on the driver's side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I replaced that, you know, refilled it with the grease.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if the dirt got in there, and it was just that bad.
It wasn't so much that the dirt got in, it's that the metal got out.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, the metal that comprises the joint got worn away. That's why it started making the noise. And all the grease in the world ain't going to fix that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's sort of like dropping the chainsaw on your leg and putting Vaseline on it. That'll close it right up.
Yeah. So, you know, now I'm here at 117,000 miles, and it's not just when I turn left from a stop position. It's when I turn left, right, when I'm going fast, going slow, it doesn't matter.
And pretty soon you won't be going fast or slow. You won't be going anywhere.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Because it's going to break.
That's what I'm wondering.
Oh,
is
my
axle going to fall off, or is the wheel going to fall off?
All of the above.
Well, the wheel won't fall off.
Yeah.
The wheel will not fall off. It's very likely that the axle will just shear itself off.
Right, and then the wheel won't turn.
Huh.
So you need to... But,
and you're on the verge of it if you've been driving all this time.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse and worse.
But you don't drive this car far from home anymore, right?
No, not at all.
Let's see how long it can last.
Yeah. Keep copious notes.
I'll tell you, very often customers will come in with a similar noise, and I will tell them, look, you've got to replace the axle because it's going to break. And the question everyone asks, because it's fairly expensive, is how long can it go?
How long do I have, doctor?
And I don't know. So I'm relying on you, Doug. You could be, Doug, the Chuck Yeager of CV joints.
I guess I'm just trying to push my luck, though.
You could go to Mach 2.
Because, you know, on this car, I haven't replaced the timing belt either.
Oh, I love it.
And that should be done, what, between 60 and 80, somewhere around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, you're pushing the limits, and that's wonderful.
We need people.
Just hope and pray.
That's
Doug.
What America is all about, Doug.
At some point, you're going to step on the gas, and the car simply isn't going to move.
Uh-huh.
And just pray that a semi is not barreling down on you when you're taking a left turn across a highway. And that's the end of Doug.
Yeah.
I guess so.
That's the only real problem, unless you, and maybe you could install some kind of an ejection seat.
Yeah, I would get my affairs in order if I were you. Good luck, Doug.
But if you want to sell the car, I mean, you're going to spend a few $100 and get it fixed.
Yeah.
And by now, you might need all of them. You might need both sides.
Okay.
See
well,
you.
Great.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate your help.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It is true. I mean, Doug could be the one.
Well, I mean, someone has to, you know, push the envelope, as they say.
Well,
we don't know.
To put him in a category of Chuck Yeager, it didn't occur to me, I must admit. But you're absolutely right.
Well, he may be closer to, who's the guy that took the weather balloon flight?
Larry Walton.
Larry Walton. He may be closer to Larry than Chuck, I think.
Same idea, though, you know.
For those of you who don't remember, Larry Walters is the fellow who bought at an Army surplus store a bunch of weather balloons and filled them up with helium and attached them to an aluminum lawn chair.
Yeah.
And sat in the lawn chair, armed with
a BB gun,
and that's about it.
And
I
that's
think.
It. He had everything tied to the bumper of his car,
he cut
himself loose, and managed to climb to 20,000 feet up above Los Angeles.
And his idea was that he would, in order to descend, he would shoot out the balloons one at a time, and after having shot out a few, he dropped the gun.
What a man.
But I can see Doug doing that. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Anne from Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Altoona. That's like west, right?
That's like west of you. Not west of Minneapolis.
Anyway, what's up?
We have a 94 Subaru Legacy Wagon. And before I tell you what's wrong, I have to warn you that the people at the Subaru dealership now have no clue where to go from here. The people at Subaru Technical Support have no clue where to go from here. Everybody is stumped. So as much as I hate to say it, you guys are probably my car's last hope.
Otherwise?
Otherwise, I don't think I have a car.
Not a bad thing.
Okay.
Unless you live in Altoona, of course.
Well, I know right away. I don't know what the question is, but I know the answer.
Okay.
You have a bad ground.
I hope.
Yeah, I like it.
I get
it. That's it.
That's my answer, and I'm sticking with it.
I think you're right.
Go ahead, Ann.
Okay. It started back in September. We were driving up a hill with the air conditioner on, and my son noticed a white mist coming in through the vents.
I don't know what the question is, but I know one thing.
What's up?
The answer is not a bad ground.
All right, white mist. Go ahead.
So we were real close to the dealership, so we drove it into the dealership, and by then the car had drastically overheated. They changed the thermostat. A week later, the same thing happened, and this time the antifreeze came in through the came in on the floorboards of the car, so they changed the heater core.
Duh, yeah.
Okay, so 2 weeks later, my husband's driving the car, and he notices the white mist again. The car's overheating. He goes to the dealership. The antifreeze pours out on the floor again, and they replace the heater core again, thinking that they had a defective heater core. So 3 weeks later, on Thanksgiving Day, we're traveling out of town. The white mist comes through the vents again. The car overheats. The antifreeze pours out on the floor. We just had the car towed back to the dealership, where they changed the heater core for the third time, flushed the radiator, and said that the liquid that came out was milky white. They flushed it 4 times till it ran completely clear, replaced all the hoses, said that the substance, the residue in the hoses, was white and flaky, powdery when it dried, not oily. At that point, they determined, or they think, that this white stuff was what was clogging up the heater cores and causing them to destruct. They pressure checked the car, they said, to rule out a head gasket. It was fine for 3 months, and then the white mist came back. The heater core shot again, and the radiator is full of the white stuff again. Any ideas?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was carried away.
Ann,
by
how are you? Is there something we can do for you?
We have this car.
And so the theory is that this white stuff, whatever it is rotting away the heater cores and has done so 3 times?
It will do it in as short a time as 3 weeks?
Well, no. When they completely flushed the coolant system, it took 3 months.
And but as far as you know, they have determined that the heater cores that they've taken out...
Yes.
Leak.
Yes, as far as I know. And their theory is that this white stuff is clogging the, I guess, the...
See, but clogging would not cause the heater core to leak.
If anything, the white stuff, whatever it is...
would stop it from leaking.
Might be corrosive to the heater core. For example, the radiator in this car may be made out of 94. It's probably made out of copper and plastic.
Okay.
The heater core, on the other hand, may be made out of aluminum. So it's possible to have some agent in the cooling system that is corrosive to just one component. That would be the heater core.
White stuff.
Have you been to Alamogordo, New Mexico ever?
No, and no one but the dealer has ever touched the radiator of the car. There's not a whole lot of places to get foreign cars worked on here. So they're the only ones we've ever taken it to.
Well, I mean, the fact that they have flushed it out. And don't forget, every time the thing leaks and it leaks the antifreeze all over the place, whatever was introduced into the cooling system had to have been so diluted by now.
Unless...
that it can't possibly have the same effect on subsequent heater cores as it did on the first one.
Unless it's being produced,
there you go,
by the engine.
There you go.
And it's a bad head gasket.
There you go.
Now, we don't know what it is. Let's work on that for a minute. But
I think the chemistry is way beyond us.
No, it's not.
This is where you get yourself in trouble. You should just shut up and hang up right now and say, Ann, good luck.
No.
Right, go ahead.
I mean, think about it. We got some simple chemistry here. We know we've got carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide.
Nitrous oxide.
It's making
nitric acid. There you go. Okay, good enough. See, Ann? That's what it's doing.
It's making nitric acid. Oh! And what we see, as everyone knows who's taken basic, simple, first-year chemistry...
Here's where the foot goes right down the old throat.
Copper nitrate is a white powder.
It is?
No, but wouldn't it be great if it was?
It would be.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's forming copper nitrate.
She hung up about 10 minutes ago.
You know what you need?
You need
a head gasket.
Do you think? Wouldn't the white stuff be oily instead of powdery? That's what the dealer said.
No, copper nitrate is your basic salt.
Okay.
An acid and a base to form a salt and water. I mean, it's chemistry 101. Tell them to check the radiator for emissions.
Okay.
What they want to do is check for the presence of combustion gases in the coolant system.
And I'm going to guess that they're going to find that you need a head gasket. And I'm surprised that the big wigs at Subaru didn't think of this, because it only took us 25 minutes to come up with it.
Yeah, and these guys were working on it for months. But there are two of us.
Each of us has half a brain.
Yeah, but I do agree with my brother that whatever it is, I think, is being manufactured by your engine.
Okay.
I don't like copper nitrate.
No?
I like copper carbonate.
Really?
Carbonate sounds more white.
Oh, like sodium bicarbonate.
There you go.
I need one, I think.
And actually, what I really like is aluminum carbonate.
That's even better.
Al2CO3.
You know, they're going to call up and ask for your diploma back if you keep this up. I think MIT is online, too.
I love making up stuff.
Yeah, we noticed. Well, look, we have no more time for the show's over, Ian. So, we wish you luck, and please...
Please let us know.
Don't ever call back. No, let us know if
yeah, I hope this helps.
I will let you know.
All righty.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. Okay, look, it's time for us to do,
what?
You know, that thing we do a couple of times during every show.
Oh, give a right answer?
No, that's once every other show. It's time to take a short break, and we'll be back with a brand new scintillating puzzler in just a minute.
And even those skeet shooters everywhere yell, pull, and toss their radios into the air when they hear us say it. This is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from Valvoline Motor Oil. Did you know higher mileage engines need different motor oil? Well, Valvoline does, because they test oil every day in their state-of-the-art engine lab in Ashland, Kentucky. Valvoline's high-mileage motor oils with MaxLife technology are specifically formulated for high-mileage engines and have thick anti-wear film to help protect metal surfaces and extend engine life. Visit valvoline.com/cartalk to find out what product is right for your engine.
There's more to watch and read these days than any one person can get to. That's why we make Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Twice a week, we sort through the nonsense, share reactions, and give you the lowdown on what's worth your precious time. Listen and subscribe to NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. Now, as promised, this is the second in the series of two.
Yeah.
String
puzzlers.
You may remember.
You might refer to it as string theory, almost.
You could. Yeah, you could. Mm-hmm.
And will the story here be spellbinding, as you promised?
Riveting. Like
riveting.
Like blue jeans.
Riveting.
Not really. you may remember the other puzzle regarding
string. Two pieces of string, you burn something.
There you go.
Time goes by.
You have two pieces of string, and each of them will, if you light one end, will burn up in an hour's period of time.
Right.
Okay.
But at an unpredictable rate.
At an unpredictable, non-linear rate. So you can't say, okay, look, I'm going to cut the thing in half and light one piece of it, and that's going to burn up in half an hour. All you know is that from beginning to end, the burn time is an hour.
Gotcha.
Okay. And the old puzzler was, how could you measure 15-minute period of time? And you did so by lighting three ends at once.
Three? Only got two ends. It's one piece of string.
No, you have two pieces of string.
Two pieces of string. Got it.
The first piece burns up in half an hour, okay?
Because it's lighting from both ends.
Both ends, okay? Yeah. The second piece burns for, obviously, a half an hour because it's what? Lit at the same time the other two ends. And then what you do is you light the fourth end as soon as the first two flame fronts have met.
Boom, and that's 15
minutes. And there you go. Okay?
That's good.
That's good. And a lot of people got the answer to that.
Sure.
Okay?
I like it, too.
So now you're armed with the same two pieces of string.
Yeah.
Your Zippo lighter.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's it. And the question is, how do you measure 6 minutes?
6 minutes?
Yeah. In other words, I want you to tell me.
You might be cooking an egg, and that would be important.
How could you tell me, okay, boom, right now, 6 minutes has elapsed from the, right? Okay.
All right. You got it? We get it.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or a block of Parmesan cheese, imported.
Yeah.
And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alok Gupta from the Bay Area.
Yeah, sure.
No, really.
Alok?
No, Alok, like a table's made of all oak.
All oak.
Yeah, it's not even a common Indian name.
No.
Alok, no.
Alok, oh, just like Arup.
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask about him. I do know Anurup Gupta, but I don't think he's the one you know.
And he's not related to you. But Gupta is, like, everyone in India is named Gupta, right? Like half the people.
There's a small number of last names over 500 million of people. So, yeah, there are a lot of Guptas, lots of Patels, lots of Gandhis.
And there are lots of Anurup Guptas.
Well, I know at least one.
Yeah.
So I own a 96 Mustang, has 110,000 miles on it, and I made two mistakes. One mistake was my car know I got laid off. And the second one is I showed off while I was in the car.
Oh.
At 70 miles an hour, I thought I would show my passenger what the synchronizer does. So while the clutch was in, I was going to shift it
into reverse.
To first.
Oh.
To hear the gear spin up.
And?
I heard grinding, and then after that, I couldn't shift it into any of the other gears.
You can't
do it. So then I had to leave the car at the side of the road at a safe place, and I came back in 3 days. And in 3 days, I got into the car, and all I could smell was burnt clutch. So, but then I found that I could shift it into gear, so I hobbled it to my mechanic, who found that the clutch had catastrophically failed, and we replaced that. But I still have that grinding into first.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering if the synchro is blown out. And
no,
so,
it's not there anymore.
It's not there anymore.
It got blown out the back.
Okay.
It is there. But it's down at the bottom of the transmission case in little pieces.
As dust.
And you're never going to fix that.
Well,
that's going to cost too much.
You will, but it's going to require...
But you should get the pieces out.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's relatively easy to do with a magnet.
Okay.
Well, actually, they're probably brass.
No, they're probably not
magnetizable.
So you're
not going to get them out. But they'll come out the drain hole. You can take the drain plug out of the bottom of the transmission, and you can take the fill plug out, and you can flush out the transmission.
Okay.
So that
the big chunks will come
shards
out.
Shards won't do more damage to the other synchros.
I mean, okay. if you're lucky, and all of physics would suggest that they being heavier than the oil, they should stay at the bottom.
Well, and they will, for the most part.
But who knows? You know, quantum mechanics being what it is, anything could happen.
Now, this companion that was in the car with you, was this a guy or a gal?
There was a man and there was a woman.
There was. Were they
related to... What was the relationship among the three of you?
Let's see. The man and woman were husband and wife.
Yeah.
And I dated the woman 10 years ago.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And did you say... Just before you shifted the first, hey guys, watch this.
Yeah, I tried that. That was my script. Hey guys, watch this.
And what you expected to happen was that the car would rapidly decelerate.
No, I just thought the gears would spin up. I didn't engage at all.
Well, had you been able to engage the gears, you probably would have blown the engine.
Oh, really?
How lucky you were.
Little did you know that you were that lucky.
Yeah.
That it didn't work.
Something stayed your hand, Alok.
Wait. That doesn't make sense. Since you can hit the brake in like second gear, slow the car down, you can hear the clutch slipping. You'd think the clutch would slip before the engine would blow.
Oh no.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No. Oh no.
I mean, fortunately,
because you've disengaged the clutch.
Yeah.
Because you've stepped on the clutch pedal,
okay.
And now all that's there. Is you and the shifter, and the clutch doesn't know nothing.
Oh, okay.
What kind of an engineer are you?
I used to be an oceanographer.
Oceanographer. Stick to the high seas.
Yeah, I think so, because they don't, the clutch plates on those boats don't really ever touch.
Yeah, well, forget about it. Just get past it emotionally and psychologically. Forget about shifting into first gear because you don't have a synchro there, but you don't need one.
Okay.
Use second gear.
Okay.
And I would just forget about the whole incident.
So then if I do need to get into first, I need to double clutch.
Exactly.
Or I need to...
Stop.
Well, another trick I learned was I can shift it into second, first, and then into first.
Right, until you blow out the second gear synchro. But
I hope it was fun. Well, it lasted.
It was an adventure, and the people who were waiting for us in San Diego thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
and so do we.
But this is the way that great discoveries are made.
Of course.
you have learned a tremendous amount. Unfortunately, it won't benefit you, but there may be a day, and so don't be discouraged by this.
Okay.
You remind me of the first words of a book that I recently looked at. thought is born of failure.
Yes. You're right.
I mean, you would never have thought about how that transmission works if that thing had worked.
And I now know that even though you don't engage the gears, you can damage
You can fry
stuff.
The synchros, yeah. See you later, Alok.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Man.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Anna, and I'm calling from Lake Forest, Illinois.
Lake Forest.
Hi, Anna. Mm-hmm.
Hey, how are you?
We're great. What's going on? How can we help you?
Well, I have a bit of a sick and twisted mystery, and I'm really hoping that you can help me out.
Well, I'll let my brother deal with this because, as everyone knows, he's the sick and twisted one.
Sick okay. and twisted mystery. Is your husband involved?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have a 98 Civic Honda LX. I park in an outdoor mall, and this occurred one night where I had parked my car. I went to work, and 9 hours later, I was coming back to get into my car. And the car was completely closed, shut, all the windows were up, everything. And I got into the car.
And there was a snake in the car.
There was a rat in the car.
I was close.
Oh,
you
my
were.
God.
And the rat was the size of, like, a liter bottle, an Evian liter bottle.
Oh, no.
Oh, you must have peed yourself.
And it was white, and it was looking up at me as I got in the car, and I absolutely lost my mind.
Oh, lost man. So mind. You didn't see it until you got in?
I got in the car.
Oh!
Was it in the front seat?
It was on the passenger front seat on the
oh,
floor.
Oh, my.
So, needless to say, I got out of the car, I opened up all the car doors, I'm running around the car screaming my head off, and the woman that I left work with drove over and said, "What the hell is wrong with you? You look like you've lost your mind."
You look like you've seen
a rat in my car. And we proceeded to get the rat out of the car after various attempts.
So you know it was a rat. I mean, you got to study it long enough.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
no,
it was
definitely a rat. Okay. It was definitely a rat. And my question is, how did it get in my car? And I called the Honda dealer, and the guy at the Honda dealer said that he
said that happens all the time, lady.
Right. Well, he asked me if I had had the heat on, which I did, and I didn't have the recirculation button depressed. And what he said was that because I had not depressed the recirculation button, there was an opening from the outside of the car into the inside of the car that any animal could crawl.
Oh, baloney!
And it's dead serious. And so he said the
so
only
So what, you're going to find like a giraffe the next time?
Well, I was wondering how big this opening is.
Well, there is an opening, but not for a foot-long rat.
Okay. Do you have any idea? This absolutely freaked me out.
Oh, and you can't drive it anymore.
Are you kidding?
I would never get in the car again. Are you kidding? I would never go near it. Now, tell me, where had you been before you drove to work that day?
At home.
And the car was closed up in your garage or in your driveway?
Yes.
Did you canvass the neighborhood because, well, I'll tell you why. I think, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about rats.
Right.
But I think the white rats are probably more like pets or laboratory rats.
Okay.
This was not a wild rat. Had it been a wild rat, it probably would have attacked you. Isn't that scary?
Yeah.
You're sure it was white and not gray?
No, absolutely white.
White.
Yeah.
White.
Yeah, yeah. Those aren't the bubonic rats.
I mean, this is the really scary thing, then, if what you're saying is the way it is, because I live 35 minutes from work, which says to me
that
I drove for 35 minutes with a rat in my car.
In the car the whole time. Don't forget, he may have been as scared as you. I mean, think about it.
I doubt it.
No.
No one could be more scared than I would have been.
You have to get down on your knees right now, Ann, and thank God
I
that he didn't rear his ugly little head
while you were driving.
I would not be alive.
No,
you wouldn't.
I would not be alive.
I mean, one time I almost got wiped out because I've always had convertibles, and mm-hmm. I never put the top up.
Because the tops don't go up.
Most of the time, the tops don't go up. And I used to park under a tree. And one day, I get in the car one morning, I'm going to a meeting, and I had a hat that I put on to keep my coif from getting blown.
Yeah, from scaring pedestrians.
And I put the hat on my head, and I'm driving along, and as I'm driving, I realize something is crawling in my hair.
Oh, my gosh.
Because there was a bee in the hat
when
I put it on my head.
Oh, my gosh.
Tanya, you talk about about running off the road. I screamed. I hollered. Oh, man.
It's almost as bad as dropping a cigar between your legs.
And it was only a little bee. A rat.
Right.
A rat the size of, what was it?
Chicago.
What was it? The size of one of those 5 gallon?
Five gallon jugs of gasoline.
See, first of all, there's no way vents open, close. There's no way that any rat that size is getting in through your ventilation system. And if that were the case, there'd be hundreds of other things.
I was going to say, you know, why isn't it in the owner's manual?
Do you have any enemies, Ann? Tell the truth. Now search your soul here.
You're not in the middle of a messy divorce. You're not.
Now my divorce is long and over.
How long?
Years.
Years.
Yeah. Mm. No, I'm happily single.
Does anyone else have a key to this car?
No.
I mean, I've been divorced for 25 years, and I sneak a rat in my ex-wife's car once a month just for the hell of it. Yeah, I mean, it's great joy and pleasure.
Right. Well, but rest assured that there's no rat that's going to get into this car by any of the means that anyone might suggest.
And let's assume, and this is actually a more comforting thought, that you did, in fact, forget to lock the car that day.
Uh-huh.
And someone either played a practical joke on you, not very jokey, I'll admit, or there was a kidnapping going on or something. I mean, someone kidnapped a rat and tried to hide it. Something weird happened.
Okay.
And the likelihood of it happening again is just about zero.
Okay. Right.
There was definitely some skullduggery at work here, in my humble opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
See you, Ann. Good luck.
Thank you so much, guys.
Wow.
What?
Wouldn't that scare the living badoodies out of you? You open the door and you jump in the car because you don't open the door and look.
Oh, look first. You don't
look first.
No.
You get in the car. You take out the key out of the corner of your eye. And imagine how it happens. Out of the corner of your eye, you see a little movement, something weird. Oh, man.
Oh, jeez. I'm not going to be able to sleep now.
I'm never driving a car again.
Well, look, it's happened again. You have eviscerated another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. That's pretty gruesome, isn't it? Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his picture-perfect performance at the Pocatello Pulled Pork and Polka Promenade, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of allergy research is Teresa Pollinating. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our New York-based dispute settlement coordinator is You Talking to Me. Our meteorologist...
You Talking to Me?
Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our director of summer visits to the in-laws is Don Wongo. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Lewis Dewey. Known to the Cambridge Police Department Special Bongo Noise Abatement Unit in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1926, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our mildly offensive clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, a great way to get rid of your used car.
Just call me and I'll be there in no time to pick it up.
What, you getting tired of shopping at the junkyard?
Well, they want too much money. $50 for a car? Come on, that's ridiculous.
Actually, we're talking about the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. You donate your old car and your favorite public radio station benefits.
You can check out details this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though hyenas complain that we give laughing a bad name whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.